This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and online at kexp.org. Our guests this morning are Pam Burton, president of Solar Washington, and Meg Gluckman, acting Solar Cities coordinator for Seattle City Light. Pam and Meg are here to discuss the status of solar energy in the Seattle area and to tell us about the 2008 Seattle Shoreline Solar Tour, which will take place Saturday, October 4th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Welcome to you both.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
Pam, would you like to begin by saying a few words about Solar Washington?
We are the state chapter of the American Solar Energy Society, and we have helped to develop chapters around the state. There are a number of different groups that are very viable, and every year we all organize a tour, first Saturday in October. It is Public Utilities Week, plus it's also the Nationwide Energy Awareness Month, so it's why we do it. And sometimes people ask us, why are you doing it when it's getting, you know, cloudy or dark or whatever? But every year it's grown bigger. We're just thrilled to be doing it again and to have a wonderful partner like Seattle City Light.
And Meg, would you like to give an overview of the Solar Cities program at Seattle City Light?
Sure. The Department of Energy has a Solar America initiative, and between 2007 and 2008, they selected 25 cities from across the country to model for their region how to address barriers to installing solar in their cities. And Seattle was chosen in April 2008.
And how did Seattle come to be designated as a solar city?
Well, there was an application process. So City Light led a team of other partners from the city to apply, and the city of Seattle was selected in April. And when I went down to the kickoff meeting in Tucson, once we got the award, there was kind of a joke that, as Pam said, you know, why would Seattle apply given its cloudy reputation? And they were so impressed with our application and the ideas that we had about how to promote solar that they selected us.
And what were some of the ideas about how to promote solar that you presented to them?
The grant has a few different pieces. There's an education and outreach component, and so we'll be doing a lot more work in schools around renewable energy and solar education, as well as public outreach, like the tour, and a series of workshops that will be kicking off in November around solar energy. There's an interest in finding different ways to address the economic barrier to installing solar. So we'll be researching models of financing or incentives that might work for our customers, as well as looking into developing a community solar program where, as opposed to installing on your roof, you might own a share of a larger system that's installed somewhere else. And there's a lot of great models out there for us to look at. And then we're also very interested in incorporating solar into more of the city's planning effort. So obviously in City Light's planning, how are we going to promote solar long-term? And in the Department of Planning and Development, how can we incorporate solar into building and land use codes? Those kind of ideas.
And one of those community projects that Meg is referring to that is a great model is out in Ellensburg, and it'll be on the tour this year. You know, as you think about where would you like to go around the state, you certainly can look at solarwashington.org, click on the tour, and see the variety of tours that we have. But there in Ellensburg, that's exactly what the citizens there have done, come together, bought panels together, and they're out on Highway 5.
What role does solar energy currently play in Seattle's overall energy mix?
Well, we have about 400 kilowatts of solar installed in Seattle, and that's pretty much all been installed by private customers. So it's a teeny tiny drop in the bucket as of right now, at least. And City Light itself owns 24 solar systems, which were funded as part of our Green Power program, where customers voluntarily give a donation to support solar demonstration projects. So there's 24 projects up around the city, but solar is definitely a very small piece of our resource so far.
And again, some of those sites will be on the tour, including the Ballard Library, which has an incredibly unique system where the solar is actually in the windows, something that they're doing a lot in Europe, and now we're beginning to see here. But this was the first in the state. And when Meg says 400 kilowatts, that's about 100 projects. If the average project was four, which actually I think the average project's probably
smaller
3 kilowatts,
than that,
but over 100 homes. And then in the case of the 24 for Seattle City Light, we're talking about schools and parks and universities. They have a couple of universities have put up projects. And one of the other ways to think about this is 2001, we had our first tour. It was the first net meter project in 2001 for Seattle City Light. So here we are 7 years later, and we're up to over 100 projects. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the increments, the second year there were like four, and then the third year there were 15, and it's grown tremendously.
What types of solar installations are most common in the greater Seattle area?
Well, the solar electric is quite popular, but almost equal, I think, is the solar hot water. Those are a little harder to keep track of because the solar electric, you do pull a permit and become a net metered client of the utility, so it's really easy to know. But in my company, Puget Sound Solar, we're doing half of both, and in many cases, families do buy both hot water and solar electric. So solar hot water is much more forgiving. One of the things people get a chance to find out on the tour is we will have a kickoff, like Solar 101 classes at 10 o'clock and then again at 1 o'clock at each one of our kickoff sites, and there will be three of those, and explain to you the differences in terms of solar electric, solar hot water. Passive solar, very important. Efficiency must do in every home where we, you know, beef up the insulation. And we'll also be handing out what is the first time from the American Solar Energy Society, a beautiful, it's a magazine. It's just a full-on magazine called Solar Today. And it includes a description of the three different types of solar and how people can pay for it and rebates. And I think it's fascinating because you'll see just how much solar is being done in this country. If you listen to people talk about it in the media, you'd think that solar is not being done anywhere, but that's just not true. And you'll see the facts when you look at Solar Today when you pick this up. Again, this will be at the kickoff sites.
Could you say more about how the interest in solar energy has changed over the past few years?
Well, yeah, growing tremendously. And of course, the biggest variable is what people are paying for energy. So it's the cost. Now, as we move into the generation of $4 a gallon gas, people are thinking about and hearing more. The movie Who Killed the Electric Car came out, and people are aware the technology is there now for us to have electric cars and to spend more like 80 cents a gallon if you did the equivalent in electricity. And of course, if you put up a solar array and you count what you would be spending for the gas when you do your figuring for what this is going to cost you, you can see how quickly you could pay for a solar electric array if you're making the energy for your car as well as your house. The interest has also gone up with every reward that has been added. And since I've been in business since 2001, each year there's been something new. Bonneville originally offered a green tags program where people could earn 10 cents a kilowatt hour. Then the state came in and started offering the production credit a couple of years ago, and they can now make 15 cents a kilowatt hour from that program. The Made in Washington panels are going to be available next year. Those will bring the reward up to 35 cents a kilowatt hour. There's a federal tax credit that has made a big difference to people, which is capped at $2,000. But it is, you know, a tax credit that just a lot of families can really use that extra to help them pay for their systems. So those are the kinds of things that have definitely brought up the interest. The war made a huge difference in people's minds. Al Gore's movie, these are the things that make my phone ring off the hook. So I think just being more conscious of energy, of how we are spending our, of course, our national dollars in energy, the idea that if we had to go to opening up Anwar to burn more fossil fuels, the storms that are getting worse, people are obviously clear about climate change and the fact that going into Anwar to drill more oil means worse problems with global climate change in the long run. The states that are being hit, again, when you look at Solar Today, this magazine where we're going to hand out at the kickoff sites, you know, you can see a lot going on in those states where the big storms are hitting people. People are working very hard in Florida and Texas with renewable energy. And of course, you know, that just it comes home to them so hard.
I'm Diane Horn, and we are speaking with Pam Burton, president of Solar Washington, and Meg Gluckman, acting Solar Cities coordinator for Seattle City Light. Our topic is the status of solar energy in the Seattle area and the 2008 Seattle Shoreline Solar Tour, which will take place Saturday, October 4th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. What are the main hurdles to the use of solar energy at present?
I'd have to say definitely the economics are the major hurdle. For solar hot water systems, you're looking at probably an investment around $8,000 before any tax credits. For solar electric or photovoltaics, PV systems, you're looking at a minimum investment of probably $8,000 to $10,000, and most systems higher than that. So it's the upfront investment that I think is the real hurdle. And that's one challenge that we are definitely looking at City Light. There's other cities, other utilities that are also looking at this challenge and coming up with some different models for how they can offer financing or help buy down that initial cost. One example I'll just throw out is the city of Berkeley is looking at whether they can essentially finance your system by putting the cost into your property taxes. So you would pay for your system over 20 years through your property tax. And there's other models out there too of, you know, just different loans, financing to help make that initial investment much more affordable.
And I have banks coming to me saying, how can we create this product, especially for big commercial jobs? So the banks are getting involved. Greg Warr has been approached by, in fact, one of the folks that's going to be on our tour this year about the Berkeley model because it makes so much sense. And she said, we've got to do this. We've got to do this statewide. And if you go to the bank and you say, you know, I've got this proven income, in other words, the saving that you'll make in terms of a solar hot water system, that's going to be 50 to 70% of what you're currently spending to make your domestic hot water. Well, that you can take that to the bank and say, that's what I will be saving every month is we won't be paying for that. This is what it'll be on an annual basis. And, you know, banks like to hear that kind of thing. That makes sense, finances. And, you know, of course, as we're involved in this insane financial craziness that's going on right now, you start thinking more about, okay, how can something be paid for? Well, this makes sense. You have a guaranteed income each month from the reduction of your energy costs. That's guaranteed income into the future. And these solar hot water systems, I've got one on my house that's 25 years old, and I will be on the tour. I'd love to meet people if they want to come by on Finney Ridge. And it's, you know, 25-year-old system that we bought as a used system because we were experimenting with what they call an evacuated tube system. Another thing they talk about in the Solar Today magazine is some of the differences across the country. And I know you've got listeners across the country, and there will be tours all around the country. So everybody can go to aces.org to see and click on your state and see what's going on. Some parts of the country, it makes sense to put up flat collectors for solar hot water. Here in the Northwest, we use what are evacuated tubes, and we'd love to show those to people. There'll be a number of the homes in Seattle and Shoreline that have the solar hot water.
You've been alluding to this, but could you underscore the advantages for homeowners of solar installations?
Well, it's reduction in terms of their energy costs. I saw a big one. I have an all-electric home, and when we put up our first solar hot water system, you know, immediately there was a reduction of, it was about 70% for the year for my husband and I making solar hot water. So we just didn't have to pay for that. Then, of course, realizing that you're taking carbon, you're basically taking carbon out of the air because you're making clean energy. Once we were able to buy electric vehicles, then it meant, of course, saving from what we were paying for gas. And then again, the carbon reduction is wonderful.
And I would just add, it's some guarantee or assurance of what your future energy prices are going to look like. You know, if I install a solar hot water system and I might have natural gas or I have oil or even electric, I know that that price for that fuel, right, if my sunlight is free, is fixed. So I'm assured that energy cost, essentially.
Also, when you're producing energy off your house, it's locally produced, and the way it works is that the solar panels are there and the house uses the electricity that is being made instantly. It's like you're helping the grid, the overall big grid, in that, you know, you're reducing what the grid needs to do. I'm trying to get somebody to give me the X factor. How many homes in Seattle do we need to have producing their own energy? It'll make a difference. There are these numbers. ACES publishes these in their wonderful climate change report that came out a couple of years ago, where you can take a look and find out, you know, X amount of homes producing electricity from their rooftops means one less power plant. And obviously, again, coal-fired power plants, talking about nukes again. We've got to just get to the sane idea of the renewables that are available right now.
What should a homeowner consider in determining whether or not it makes sense for them to install a particular solar system?
Number one is a roof. what their solar resource is on their roof and what the size of the roof is.
Just adding on to that roof orientation, how old is your roof, right? If your roof is, you know, 20 years old, 25 years old now, and you're thinking about in the near term having to replace it, well, you know, why not do both at the same time, replace the roof and install? It's a big expense to have to take off the panels to re-roof and then put the panels back on. So you want to keep that in mind as well. You know, when people do the economics of solar, they're going to have to look at, you know, what federal tax credits am I going to be able to take advantage of? You know, do I get the business tax credit or is it just the personal tax credit? If I'm concerned about the investment, how can I afford it? What are my different financial options in financing and so forth?
How about the issue of shading from trees?
You can't shade a solar panel, but part of the design work that we do is that we look at the layout and what's possible. And it might be like with my home, I've got shade from the mountain behind me in the morning. So we just laid out the design so the maximum is on the front array, and on the back array, we're taking a slight hit in the morning. We're not producing as much as we could. But again, you can do a lot with design. You can also do a lot with inverters. And solar systems are made up of the panels and the inverter. And there's some inverters that just work better. There's some panels that work better with shading issue. So that's all got to be part of the design work that's done up front. Solar hot water is much more forgiving. Obviously, it's a lot easier to boil water from the sun if you put a pan of water out on the street than it is to make electricity. So you can shade. And in some cases, again, with the design, we work it out so that, like on my house, I'm actually making too much hot water, and we wanted to save the roof for the solar electric, so we put the solar hot water on the side. And we're actually shading during the summer when we are just making too much hot water. You can do that too.
And I just add a plug that if you're interested in it, the first real good step is to contact an installer and have them come out and evaluate your roof. And they've got unique tools to look at shading and to look at how your roof's laid out and come up with recommendations.
Are there any promising new solar technologies that may help with cost and or where solar can be effectively used?
Every day there's something you hear about. Now, when is that product going to come to market is, of course, a challenge. But one of the newest things is they now have inverters that are connected to a string rather than a large inverter. And this is a way to produce more with, again, the issue of shading. And those have just come on the market. They've just been passed through their UL testing. The biggest news here in Washington is the Made in Washington panels. These are a little different than the panels that we've been purchasing from Germany and Japan. They all come from many of the same solar sources, which is, interestingly, in Moses Lake. They all get the same solar. But these are going to be constructed differently. There'll be a 4x4 panel rather than the 5x3 kind of traditional panel. There'll be glass on glass. Which the manufacturers believe will last longer. We'll have to see about that, but it sounds interesting. And these are they just were put up on the Wild Horse Wind Farm, where people can see them at the visitor center, and they will be available for sale in 2009. They're still going through their UL listing. But that's very new and very exciting for Washington State, because people will be able to earn a bigger reward. That goes up to 36 cents a kilowatt hour. If that doesn't mean anything to you, be sure to come on our tour October 4th, because it's one of the things we'll be explaining to you, kilowatt hours versus kilowatts and how the numbers break out.
Well, you alluded to this earlier, but could you just list again the tax credits and or incentives for solar that are available to Washington citizens that are available now and also that could become available in the near future?
Sure. There's the federal tax credit, where the max for personal is $2,000 or 30% of the system cost, with a cap at $2,000.
And that's good on both hot water and solar electric.
Right.
And as we speak, they're working through the extension, because this is set to expire at the end of this year. A lot of us have been so busy with people understanding that and wanting to take advantage of it. But I'm hopeful. I'm pretty sure we're going to have this extended as it's passed through both the Senate and House, so they have to resolve it between the two of them. But we really definitely need an extension on that one.
Keeping our fingers crossed. And then on the business side, there is a federal tax credit as well, which is at 30% of the system cost, again, for solar, hot water, or PV, but does not have a cap. So it's very attractive on the business side. And then for Washington residents, we have the Washington State Renewable Energy Production Incentive, which starts at 15 cents per kilowatt hour that you produce. And this is just going to be for systems that produce electricity, so when we're talking solar photovoltaics, and then goes up to a peak of possibly 54 cents per kilowatt hour that you generate if you use both Washington-made panels and a Washington inverter. And as Pam has described, the Washington panel should be available next year, but currently there's no Washington inverter that's batteryless. So there's a battery inverter made in Washington that you could use if you wanted to have battery backup to your system. But most systems we're seeing don't have batteries. We don't necessarily need them. You just use the grid as kind of your big battery bank. And that Washington State Renewable Energy Production Incentive is capped at $2,000 per customer per year and is currently due to sunset in 2014. So we'll keep our fingers crossed for an extension on that one as well.
We've also gotten a sales tax waiver on both this equipment and the installation for both hot water and PV. And that is scheduled to sunset at the end of June this year, the coming year. So we really want people that are involved in the renewable energy lobbying in Washington State to help us to get that extended, because that'll have to be done in the next few. I mean, as we're talking now, we're probably starting to lay out those plans for lobbying in January in Olympia. So please help us extend the state sales tax waiver, which is, you know, almost 9%.
So for the average homeowner, if they were to take advantage of all of the incentives and tax breaks that were available to them, how much would that add up to? And then how much would they end up paying to put a solar installation in?
Well, it's a hard number because it varies so much in terms of what people are currently paying for their electricity. But I'd love to send them to findsolar.com, where there's actually a calculator that you can put in your numbers, put in your zip code. And again, this is good nationwide. It's one of the things the Department of Energy and the American Solar Energy Society has made available to people. Findsolar.com, F-I-N-D. And that little calculator's there. And you can also then contact through there the vendors that do solar in your area. We all have to go through a screening process and submit customer reviews. So it's a good way to find out if somebody that has, you know, there's going to be a lot more happening in terms of the small businesses coming up, plumbers who want to get into the business, and that's great. Solar Washington welcomes you to become a member of our group in the American Solar Energy Society. But there is stuff to learn. Just because you're already a plumber or electrician, as smart as you might be, you need to learn some special things. And again, findsolar.com is a great way for screening vendors.
Now, would you tell us in detail about the 2008 Solar Tour, which will take place Saturday, October 4th?
Our pleasure. So we are doing a little bit of a different approach this year than past tours. We're going to have three primary kickoff locations for the Seattle Shoreline Solar Tour, one in Shoreline at the Shoreline Community College, the second in Ballard at the Ballard Library, and the third at the Birchie School, which is in Capitol Hill. And at each kickoff location, you'll be able to pick up tour maps that have the 29 homes and businesses that are on the tour with a description of what's at each stop, solar hot water, solar electric. You know, we have one guy doing some biodiesel. We've got great examples of efficient building as well, water conservation practices and so forth. Also at the kickoff locations, you can pick up information like Pam mentioned, the information from the American Solar Energy Society, the Solar Today magazine, as well as information on Solar Washington. Seattle City Lights Conservation Programs will be giving out free compact fluorescent light bulbs to everybody that comes by. And then at 10 a.m. and 1 p.m., we'll be doing 30-minute kind of mini workshops, Solar 101. So giving everybody a good grounding in the technology, how to evaluate what'll work for you and the questions you might want to ask as you go around to the homes and businesses.
And I take it this is all free.
It's all free, and it's a self-guided tour. So we're not going to be leading tours through all the homes. You pick up the tour map, and you get to decide where you want to go.
And they're open houses, and one of our goals is that people get a chance to meet people that are living with solar. And then they ask those questions about, well, am I going to run out of hot water? What happens if the electricity goes off? Those are the kinds of things that they can discuss. And we have kickoff events also around the state. So again, go to solar.washington.org. Snohomish is going to have a huge kickoff event thanks to Snohomish PUD. And down in the South End also, utilities are involved in the Vancouver Clark County area. Ellensburg is going to have a wonderful tour. Olympia is having their tour the week before, so that'll be happening Saturday today. And Tacoma is going to have a tour. They also will be October 4th. Olympia is the only one doing it early, but they've got a spectacular tour. So go on solarwashington.org and check out the tours, even if you're not going to go into some of those places. I think you will be really impressed with how much is going on, including our state capitol now has solar on it.
And I noticed, I believe, from your website that you could get some food that had been made in solar ovens.
So we're keeping our fingers crossed that October 4th is a nice sunny day, and we will have solar ovens at the kickoff locations, as well as some hands-on solar experiments to play with.
Things for the kids to do and the families. And again, our education is so important, teaching kids about this from the get-go. I can't believe how many people contact us and say, oh, I really want to do solar. I've been thinking about this my whole life. Solar is one of those things that really does captivate the kids at a young age, and I think it's a great vehicle for getting them involved in science. And it is some of our science teachers around the city that have come to Seattle City Light and said, we want to put up a demonstration project on our school. And there's all kinds of great new, we're putting monitoring equipment and weather stations on these solar arrays so that the chemistry teacher, the physics teacher, or whoever at the school wants to handle this unit can monitor what's being produced on the array at any given time, what the impact is if it's cooler. And we know that solar panels actually function better with cooler temperatures. And the kids will be able to see that, what happens when the wind comes up. And this all comes through a computer, and they can monitor it. And Fat Spaniel's another, it's just a wonderful tool where we can find out nationwide how much schools are producing. Because if, you know, they have this monitoring equipment on them. And again, it makes us understand how much is being done in this country already in solar.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Come out and see it, feel it, talk to the people that are part of this. Definitely come to one of these kickoff sites at Ballard Library, Capitol Hill, Birchie School, and at Shoreline Community College. Hear one of the lectures if you haven't had a chance to do that. Pick up the materials. And again, bring the kids out because it'll be a great day. And then you can go ahead and take the tour. Beautiful maps. I'm so thrilled that Seattle City Light has made this such a big deal this year and really helped us in terms of these tour maps. And you'll be able to pick those up.
Yeah, I think the homeowners and the business owners that are on the tour are just so looking forward to sharing their story and talking to other local Seattle residents about why they went solar. So I encourage everybody to come out. It's going to be a great day.
Well, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
We have just been speaking with Pam Burton, president of Solar Washington, and Meg Gluckman, acting Solar Cities coordinator for Seattle City Light. For more information, check on the web at www.solarwashington.org and www.seattle.gov/light. Again, solarwashington.org and seattle.gov/light. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, selected sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on podcasting, and scroll down to Mind Over Matters sustainability segment. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and kexp.org.